welcome to our live Your Backup Plan tribe. I'm Tina over here with Your Backup Plan app. I am the creator and developer of Your Backup Plan, and I'm a best-selling author of In the Blink of an Eye. Just like that, your life can change in a flash, in a blink of an eye, so to speak. And it does. I'm also an emergency preparedness coach, and I'm bringing today, we talk about real life stories each and every day with really amazing guests on our show about their life-changing events in their lives, whether it's trauma or tragedies or sickness or accidents. And I'm so very blessed to have Judy V here from Mexico to talk about locked away and breaking free, Judy's courageous escape from confinement. I am so excited to have Judy on our show today. We're going to have a quick commercial and I'll be right back.
In the blink of an eye, life can change dramatically. On our podcast, Talking Taboo with Tina, we delve into these life-altering events with celebrities, authors, and everyday people just like you. You'll also discover Your Backup Plan app, a life organizing tool designed to prepare you for any unexpected circumstance. It's your safety net, taking the sting out of tragedy. Imagine a plan B that ensures your finances are safe, even in the worst case scenario. But it doesn't end there. Join our vibrant Facebook group for free webinars on backup planning and secure your future today.
We're back. That was a little glitchy there for a second. Well, let's bring on Judy V for our show today on Locked Away, Breaking Free from Judy's Courageous Escape of Confinement. Welcome, Judy.
Hi, Tina. How are you doing? So good to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on our show. Judy is a serial entrepreneur in the real sense, having established businesses in many different industries. She is the bravest woman in the UK, and she's also known as the International Woman Winemaker of the World. She's a best-selling author and an international speaker, and she's coming to us from Mexico today. Oh my gosh, that was a mouthful, Judy. Wow. That is wonderful. And I'm so happy to have you here to talk about your story. Where did it all start for you, Judy?
So I will start by saying that for some, this might be a triggering story, triggering experience. And just to understand that this is my experience and how I made sense of it. And we're all on a different journey, and it doesn't make anyone wrong or anyone right. It's all just perfect. And for me, it's just, I'm privileged to be able to share that with your listeners, Tina, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity. Okay. So it started like a long time ago in Ireland. I was locked up, and I'm from the age of about 3 until I escaped in my early 20s. And in the interim, like isolated from society, not educated, moving from one place to another, and being abused and tortured. It was, I was literally used as a slave. And it got to a point where literally I lived only because my heart beat. I felt like a piece of meat. I felt empty. I felt like nothing. I would go to bed at night, or I would be in bed at night, and I would beg for my heart to stop beating, just for this to end and to stop. And, and in those days, being isolated has a different connotation to what it does now. I mean, there were no mobile phones. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. There was television. But like in Ireland in those days, there were 2 TV channels, and that finished like at 11 o'clock at night. So very much outer, the world was also very much different to what it is now. So until one day, everything changed. And it was in November, I think it was. I was about 15 years old. And it had been a particularly bad night of torture. The levels of torture were unbelievable, how I survived. They involved like the most horrendously brutal stuff that you can imagine. Like being shot was like the lightest, right? It's like it got worse than that. Yeah. So
it was both physically and emotionally and
sexually. It was in all way. Everything. It was It was physical mutilation. It was physical. It was mental. It was emotional, and it was sexual. So it was horrendous. That left me literally feeling like meat, nothing else. So this one night had been particularly bad, and it'd been all night. And I remember walking into the bathroom, and it was November. It was early morning, 7-ish in the morning. It was gray. And I remember walking in up to the mirror over the hand basin. And I remember seeing myself. It was almost like it was the first time I had ever seen myself. Or it was like the weirdest experience. I had obviously seen myself before, but this particular moment, it was different. And I looked at myself, and beyond the bruises and the blood on my face, the threadbare torn nighty and all of that, and I looked into my eyes, I found myself leaning in and looking into my eyes and almost like reaching in with my arm down to my solar plexus and grabbing something. And that something became my something for many years to come. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have a language. I could barely read or write. And I grabbed my something. And my something was with me for many years. I now know was my spirit, my soul, my core, my essence. And I grabbed it. And as I grabbed it, I was literally transported out of my body outside. And there I was outside, cold November morning, and just feeling one with everything. And it was the most extraordinary experience to feel that oneness with the most bizarre things, one with the birds. I could hear the birds. I was one, and one with the rain on the windows, one with trees and grass that was being cut in the distance. I could smell it, and just feeling one with everything. And the next thing was this extraordinary sensation that I had never, ever felt before. And to this day, I'm still not able to articulate in words the power of this sensation. It was so all-consuming and so intense. And I don't know what it was. It was like 100,000,000 cashmere jersey or blankets just wrapped around me. And then I realized it was love. It was divine, unconditional love. And it was the most extraordinary sensation. And as I experienced it, realized it, I looked up and I saw myself, my body, standing in front of the mirror in the bathroom. And in that moment, it was like a whoosh to that body, to the body and being. And I healed for everything I had been through, was going through, and everything I was yet to go through. There was complete healing across all dimensions, all timelines. It was the most extraordinary moment. And as I just immersed in that sensation, I realized I could see infinite. I could see truth. I could see the higher realms. I could see what I now call the primordial field. I could see everything. I could see how everything, the truth of everything, the magnificence of everything, the expansiveness of everything, the opportunity, potentiality, possibilities, it was all there. And I knew in that moment, without a shadow of a doubt, that I would escape. And I knew in that moment that I would experience an extraordinary life. And I suppose, in a way, planted three seeds. That's how I see it. I planted three seeds in that moment, and that would be my life, would be love, prosperity, and adventure. Now, I didn't have the word prosperity then. I didn't even know that word existed. I called it luxury, but I understand now my meaning was prosperity. And that has literally been my life. And
was this both your parents then at the time?
No, I had been taken away from my home, and it was just with my father and others. So it was not, my mom was away living with my other siblings. I was the one who was taken out.
And why would that be?
Oh, that's another whole conversation. That itself is a whole other conversation, because again, we can talk about why in the physical realm, but it goes beyond there. There's a bigger reason for that. There's a much bigger reason for that. And it goes into the sort of like where we come from in the dimensional realms and how we get interfered with and all of that. So it's another whole conversation. Maybe we talk about that another time.
Yeah.
But what happened for me. So I was the one taken out. I have a number of siblings, and they were left with my mom, and I was taken away. And in that moment, when I came back into my body, I don't know how long that whole experience lasted. I have no idea. Came back into my body, there was a few things that I knew. One, I had changed. I had shifted. Nothing was ever going to be the same again. And I knew that 100% certain. I had no doubt about that. I knew that you could hurt this physical body because you could never touch my essence. Nothing and no one could ever touch my essence. And I was connected to that. I was one with that. And between the time, and this is going to be a funny bit, between the time of me coming back into my body, realizing that, and between walking from the mirror to the door, I knew that when I escaped, I would get a job in either shipping, oil and gas, stockbroking, or merchant banking. And I had no idea what that meant. These words came into my head, and I have no idea what they meant. None. I was not educated. What is a merchant banking? I know what a bank is, but what's merchant banking? What's stockbroking? It didn't make any sense to me. What's shipping? It made no logical sense to me. So for the next 6 years, until I did escape, it's not that I didn't experience the torture and all the stuff. That all continued. But I never once again felt like a piece of meat. I never once again felt like nothing. Right. Nothing could take away the joy, the sheer joy, happiness, connection that I had. In the moment of torture, sure, I had moments of, anxiety and hell and suffering and all that. But the moment that physical act stopped, I was now reconnected to my source, to my something. And it was my something that I connected to. And I was always in this joy. And I set about learning. I taught myself to read and write. I taught myself about money. I taught myself about business. I taught myself about, I taught myself to do all sorts of crazy things. Oil painting, knitting. What was the other thing? Playing violin. I taught myself from nothing, no training, no teaching, nothing. Because we are, when I experienced that moment, I saw that we are all divine. We are all connected to source. We are all contained within us, the seeds of original creation. There is no separation. And as such, we have access to all knowledge that ever has been, is, and ever will be. We can tap into that. And how we tap into that is something else that I learned, is that we are anatomically, our body is designed to connect, communicate, and create from our infinite realms. So that's what I did literally for the next 6 years. I created and then I escaped. And within 1 week, I knew when I escaped, I had to leave the country. I had no choice. It was not safe for me to stay in the country. I had to leave. So I escaped in the middle of the night. And I left the country, and I landed in London on a Friday night. Again, it was in November. It was cold and raining. And within 1 week, I had two job offers. One was in shipping, and one was trading accountant and oil and gas trading floor. And that's the one I took, earning almost six figures from nothing, no education, from nothing. Just connection to my something, being guided by my something. Because we have access to all information. I walked into that office that first day and I saw a computer. I had never seen a computer before in my entire life. But I knew what to do. And I was communicating daily to the chairman of this company every day in New York about our positions. I was able to do the work. How is that possible?
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And for the next number of years, that's how I lived. I lived guided by my something, which I subsequently found out. Number of years later, I subsequently found out that was my infinite being, was my infiniteness, my eternalness, my higher self, my divine. There's many ways which we can talk about it or label it or
call it
on it.
Yeah.
putting words on almost something that's not wordable.
Why do you, have you ever thought about why your dad would do things like that?
yes, totally. No, I understand 100% how and why he did it. I completely understand. And I can talk about that if you want. So,
sure, that'd be interesting to. So
one of the things that we have in this world, and this is like what I've spent the past 20 odd years researching consciousness and human behavior and the outer realms and connecting to source. And that is the topic of my PhD as well. So one of the things that I have learned is there is we are all from different dimensions. When we come here on this planet, we're from different dimensions. We all come at different parts of our evolution and our journey, and depending on where we come from will depend on the amount of awareness we have from birth and the amount of light that we have, the amount of magnetism we have. And it's not to say that you're better or worse than anyone else. It's just that you're just on a different part of your journey. That's all it is. Because everyone gets to that point. Everyone was from lower dimensions, and others are from higher dimensions. All those in higher dimensions came from the lower dimensions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all perfect. And when we come here and we have a journey to take and to experience, we're here to experience the duality. We're here to experience our authentic self with our senses. And one of the things that's happened with this planet Earth is there is so much what I call energetic interference. And the energetic interference comes from many different, in many forms and from many different sources. Yeah. So there's a lot of energetic interference. And one of the energetic interference is low vibrational. And it survives on humanity's low vibration. It's almost like food, it's fertilizer for interference. So the more in which humanity lives in lower vibrations, the more we're feeding interference and the more that is amplifying. And the first effect of energetic interference on human being is it takes out our magnetic energy field. And when you take out your magnetic energy field, and this has been proven, the CIA proved this in the 60s, there's a book actually written by Thomas Chan about this, that when the magnetic energy field of a human being is being taken out, capacity for compassion and empathy and true love, right? Only very, very conditional love. And we turn to criminality. And that criminality is against others or against ourselves. So for some, they become abusers, they become what some people would call maybe narcissistic or bullies or whatever it is. And then the other side of the spectrum, you've got people who would do self-harming and addictions like alcoholism or gambling or anything else like that, become self-harming to the self. And that's, my father was taken out by energetic interference so much that is what he ended up doing. So this is why, and again, this is part of why I talk. It's not for me when I'm talking about my story, it's not what I experience that's often triggering for people, it's my interpretation of it. So this is why I understand that for every single human being, no matter what, deserves love. No matter what you've done or not done, you deserve love. We all deserve love, unconditional love. He was taken out by energetic interference. Does that make him an evil person? No, he was taken out by energetic interference. We are not taught to deal with that. It's not spoken about. We're not educated. We're not aware of it. So we are susceptible to it unless we know. And the greater the light you have, the more of it you will get. The greater the capacity, the greater your awareness, the more of a beaming light you've got that attracts energetic interference. And he was taken out, and also all the others that were involved in the abuse against me as well. It's just, that's the reason, and that's why I have nothing but love and compassion for all of them, because they were taken out by energetic interference. And that is why I am on a journey to bring people's awareness to this, because we can clear it and we can live in higher vibration. And the more and more and more of us that do that, the more we take out the interference, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because energetic interference is very weak in the energy of infinite realms, in the higher frequencies of love, of compassion, of empathy, of joy, of bliss, of true authentic expression of ourselves. It's weak in that energy. It cannot survive. It only survives when we are in low vibration.
Do you think he grew up in this type of low vibration?
His parents, I think, were very much taken out, and him and his siblings experienced it from a young age. Yeah, I think he did a very good job in his early years of trying to rise above it, but again, not aware of what was going on, and he succumbed to it totally. He stopped literally trying to, and just allowed himself to be who he was.
Yeah. So, was he very angry? Or why was he, how was he dealing with this? Was it from an angry portion, or was it from being a victim maybe, or it's all he knew, or what do you think?
Okay, so here's the interesting thing about that question. Is that I can go into his reality and say to you that this is how I see it. But the thing is, not one of us can ever do that about somebody else. It's not possible. Because when I give you my opinion, I go into his reality and I I discern. But we only ever see the slightest slither of another person. We have no idea. And all we can do is make up a story, best case story, on the rest. So I tend to avoid going into the detail of the why and what for other people. And do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if he was angry all of the time. There we are back. So you know what I'm saying? So for me, talking about the detail of how he was, right? In the moments that I was getting all the stuff I was getting, he certainly wasn't in joy and bliss, okay? All right? But was he ever in joy and bliss? I don't know, because I would only ever, that my awareness of him was just that. Do you see what I'm saying? So,
So did your mom know this was going on when she was living somewhere else?
No. My mom didn't know anything about it.
And I mean, back then, I mean, it's different now with TV and internet and shows and the news and everything, right? But your mom, if she wasn't around, unless somebody told her or she saw it, she wouldn't know. Right? It's not like it is now. I lost you for a second. There we go.
Yeah, the internet's really jumping up and down.
Yeah, it is. So what, do you get along with your siblings then, your brothers and sisters that weren't around you?
So I don't talk much about my family at all, because this is my story. It's not their story. So for me, my focus is more about what I have learned from it and the power is talking about the power that we
have. It gives you.
Yeah, the power that it gives me, but also that we all have access to. We do not have to go to the end of the road or the end of the line or the end of a rope or anything like that to be able to tap into our truth and our authentic expression. We all have it. Everything that I experience, everything that I've achieved, everything that I've done from my awareness from the gift that I've been given. We have all got that ability, but it takes what I call harmonizing the trilogy of being. So let me take you on the journey then a little bit to where I got to understand the power that I had and the power, the lacking in power that so many others had and have, right? So when I escaped, I got this job and it was amazing. It was phenomenal. It's like I was earning more money. I knew what to do with it. It was crazy. I was buying champagne. I was buying oysters. And it was just incredible, absolutely incredible. Within a year, I think I'd bought my first house and in London on the river. And it was just amazing. And then after 10 months, I got fired. And I got fired not because I couldn't do the work, but because I didn't play in the sandpit, in the corporate sandpit. I didn't know how to play the games that goes on in a corporate environment. It was alien to me, because I was living from my something and I responded from my something. And it's, you know, authentic truth is not always what people want to hear in a corporate environment. So I was paid a lot of money to leave quietly. Right. So which I did. And I could literally hear a collective sigh take place as I closed the door, as the door closed behind me as I left. But here's the interesting thing. At no point during that experience did I turn that around to me and say, well, OK, I'm not good enough, or why did this happen to me, or they're bad, they're nasty, and I'm all self-righteous, and or I'm bad and I'm not good enough. And that none of that dialogue came into my frame of reference. None of it. It was simply, oh, well, that's interesting. What now? It was literally as simple as that. And okay, all right, next job. Within a week or two or whatever, I had another job paying something similar, again in oil and gas, doing something more exciting. And it was great. And for another 10 months, and I got paid to leave there. And there was a collective sigh after I left. That happened about, it happened about 4 or 5 times. The last time it happened, I was now living in Cape Town. And I'll never forget walking out of the office, paid again to leave, and the collective sigh as I walked out the door and the door closed behind me. I remember looking up at Table Mountain, the sun setting behind it, and I'm saying, really? Is this it? Is this going to be my life? Right? So what? And the next thing that came through was, do your thing. Do your own thing. Right. I had no idea what that meant. Do my own thing. So I started my first business, and it was called Dial a Teddy. It was all about teddy bears. So that was my first foray into entrepreneurship. Now, and that amplified. I had this business. I had so many businesses in no time at all. And that's when that really got my, that fed my soul. That was exciting. The interesting thing was I created a life in Cape Town where I had it all. I had a beautiful house on the slopes of the mountain. I had a beautiful car. I had a boat. I was water skiing. I was competitive water skiing. I was a pilot. I was a competitive pilot. I was sponsored pilot. I represented South Africa at International World Championships diving. There was nothing I couldn't do. I had so much money. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had it all. I was with a paragliding group. We were test pilots for paragliders. Paragliding was just coming out. And it was,
wow.
It was a really exciting time. And I remember really life was good, but I had one thing missing. And that is I couldn't connect with others. I had an issue connecting with others. I had what I call friends, but they were like out there sort of friends. They weren't like close. So I missed that. And I remember making the decision to become normal. They couldn't relate to me. I couldn't relate to them. right? To me, I could do anything and everything. And to me, it was like the next step, you know, what is next? What's next? What's next? And I would create, and I would create, and I would create. And they couldn't understand me, and I couldn't understand them, because them, for them, it was like, you've got to work hard, you've got to struggle, it's going to take this long, and all this sort of stuff. Not in my model of the world. And then I decided, I'm going to be normal. I'm going to be like everyone else. And what for the next 18 months was nothing short of absolute hell on earth as I decided to become normal. Because that part of that was now looking outside of myself for validation, being somebody that would be the person that would have lots of close friends, be the person that would be the person that would have two or three, you know, bookings or parties to go to every night, on all of that. And that was hell on earth. And now my life changed. And I started looking for more and more. It was like a bucket with a hole in it. Never mind a hole in it, with no bottom in it. And that, it was just constantly empty. I had no frame of reference. I had no way of dealing with this. Yeah. And I went, my work, my life started getting more and more extreme, more dangerous. I did more extreme stuff and all that. That wasn't feeding me. That wasn't enough. So I started taking overdose. Just to stop the world spinning. Just give me 5 minutes. I need to think about this. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. It was crazy. And I was like one overdose after another, after another. Sometimes I'd be in a coma. I'd come out of it, be discharged, and that same day take another overdose. How I didn't die is a freaking miracle. And it wasn't that I wanted to die, but I would take like hundreds of a certain set of pills that would kill others, but didn't kill me. Or if not kill, certainly neurologically destroy a lot of cells that you don't come back from.
You were escaping, I guess, right? You were escaping with it.
It's not that I wanted to escape. I wanted the world to stop for a minute so I could think. And it was the only way I could think about the world stopping for a minute. So I could think, I just needed the world to stop. And every time I came out of the coma, the world had slowed down a bit. And I could just think a bit. And so I was institutionalized many times over that period. All sorts of things happened. And I was forced to see therapists and hypnotherapists and all the things. And they were like trying to get me to run the story, run the story, run the story. You know, what did your mom say? What did your dad say? What did blah, 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 blah. And I kept telling them, it's got nothing to do with that. I am healed. I am healed. I healed in that. There is no issue there. There's no wounds. There's no trauma there. They couldn't understand it. They didn't believe it. Until I woke up from the last overdose and it was like, oh, bang. There it is. Complete made sense to me. Whilst living locked up, I was in bliss. I connected to my authentic, my something, myself, my truth. And nothing in my environment could take that away. I was locked up. I was starving. Sometimes I'd be eating dog food. I didn't have any clothes. I was wearing old men's torn clothes. I had nothing. But inside I was in heaven, and on the outside I was in heaven. My life, my peace, my joy wasn't determined by my outside environment. It was me and my connection. And here I was all these years later, having decided to become normal, and I had all the money. I had lacked nothing in the material world. I had all the toys, all the money, all the friends. I had 2 or 3 parties every night. I had, you name it, I had it, right? But inside I was in hell, and outside I was in happy. Heaven. Yeah, everything was there. People would tell me, people would give that right arm to have the life you have. But inside I was in hell. And that was when I realized all this is circumstantial. It means nothing. It's your connection to your authentic truth and being your authentic expression 100% of the time is what it's all about. And that's where we are at our most creative. That's when we're at our most dynamic. That's when we're in the most highest frequencies. That's when we're not being interfered with energetic interference. And that is where we collapse time and space between the thought and the experience, the cause and the effect. People, all these people, coaches, everyone focusing on money, it's got nothing to do with the money. It's who you are that matters. And being more of who we are is what creates everything. Money is the effect. Money is the ripple effect of who we are. The more we focus on being the authentic expression of our truth, the more we create in all ways, always, all time. So, yeah, that's what I learned. And we all got it. We've all got the capacity to do that. We've all got the capacity to be that.
So
that's my.
I understand. What I wanted to ask was, you hear sometimes these women who have been brought out of being captive somewhere, sometimes with parents, sometimes with a kidnapper or such. What kind of message would you give them that are suffering in this kind of world?
So, again, unconventional. My model on this is somewhat unconventional. When we experience a trauma, and this is how I created I experienced those supernatural experiences, mystical experiences. When you are experiencing a trauma, and there's no one outside of you, no escape, there's nothing outside of you, nothing that you can look to, there's no escape, there's no nothing for you to hold on to. There's only one thing, and that's to go inwards. And that's what we do. And we experience those moments of connection. And yes. In that going inwards is complete and total surrender, connection to our truth. And that's why we survive the most crazy things, because we are eternal and we connect to that eternal part of us. And that takes us out of survival into eternity, into something that is so expansive and so extraordinary. And in that moment, you get sight. It's what I call sight. It's like a divine sight, a connection in that moment. The next moment, when you're out of it, the event's done, or the whatever has happened, and you're out of it now, and you're straight now back into this matrix with all of the energetic interference, with all of the programming, conditioning, with all of the narrative, with all the cultural perspectives and judgments, with all of that. Mm-hmm. Now we're here, and now we've lost that sight. And now we're in the narrative. And it's that causes the suffering, not the event itself. So we spend a lifetime trying to heal from something that's not broken. That's the challenge. And that is the challenge I have with the whole self-development world, the whole trauma, the whole somatic healing and all of that. It's not, we are at our most whole when we are connected. Mm-hmm. It's the separation that creates the suffering. So that's what I'd say, is reconnect to your authentic truth, because no matter what you've experienced, nothing can break you. It's only the narrative that makes you think you're broken or wounded or not healed or right. Not whole.
Right.
It's the narrative. And that's the narrative that is perpetuated in this matrix, in this 3D world. And that corrupts what I call the trilogy of being. Again, I do not buy into the whole construct of ego. For me, ego is a heavily interfered with, a heavily corrupted construct that creates separation. For me, it's about the trilogy of being, body, being, and planet. That's what this is. And the more harmonized that body, being, and planet is, the more we are an open channel to receive awareness from our infinite being, from the infinite realms. And the more we are receiving that awareness and we have a harmonized trilogy of being, the more the body takes the lead and body moves. And when body moves, it is always the authentic expression of our infinite being. And when body moves, it moves, and then that's the part, that move is what activates the newest part of our brain, which is our forebrain, which is the telencephalon, which has got the insight, the foresight, and it's in that we have intuition. You marry moving on awareness with intuition, you create magic and miracles in your life, and there is nothing in the environment that can take your joy and your bliss away, because you are being your authentic expression.
Right. Although, I totally understand. Although I would say when something is happening to someone, like if we were to talk to a woman that's being physically, mentally, sexually abused right now, how do they find that? How do they escape into that? I call it escaping. Because you're taking the 3D world out of it. You're taking out the walls, the people, the whatever it is around you, and you're escaping into your inner self. But how do they find that? What would you say to somebody that's going through that right now to find that in them?
Be 100,000 trillion percent. Yeah, be 100,000,000,000% honest with yourself. That's the hardest thing for humanity to do because of energetic interference. We are so interfered with that we get, like, for example, fear. We, you know, how many times people say, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my job, I'm afraid I'm gonna have enough money. Fear. Fear is such a, it's 100,000,000,000% interference energy, because yes. We don't have fear. Every single one of us has done things and survived worst case scenarios, right? Every single one of us. We don't have fear. We fear the fear.
Yes.
We fear the fear. That's interference. That's not authentic self. That's not authentic infinite being, right? So my state of awareness, my state of being all the time is an expression of my infinite being. And that's what I suggest people do. Like, so this is what I do, is I clear all the embodied interference from people that allows them to harmonize the trilogy being. When you see that, when you get that opportunity, you have a free flow of awareness coming through from infinite being. But for people who are going through this that I'm not working with right now, it is connect to your truth. What is your joy? And anything, any I don't knows, I'm not sure, is interference. Banish it, clear it. Body truth, not you, not yours. Just clear it. Banish it, vanquish it. Just don't buy it, don't buy it, don't buy it, don't accept it. And just keep on doing that. Do not accept it, do not accept it. All right, banish it and say, right, okay, so what would I be thinking if I wasn't feeling, if I don't know, I'm not sure, or I'm not, I, you know, how would I know? All I know is this. What would I be thinking? Okay. So what's the worst that could happen if you own that? What would you be thinking? What's the worst that could happen? And be that, live that, connect with that, and see what happens. See how your state changes. And see how more and a little bit more and a little bit more you start connecting to your truth, your joy. The more joy you experience, the more possibilities exist. The more you move yourself out of fixed points of view with that you have to justify and defend, the more infinite possibilities you see. Because there are always, always, always options, possibilities. We are infinite. So how could it be just black and white? How can it be just that or that? How can it be just duality? There's every possibility under the sun. And the more we lift ourselves out of that, so just do something that brings you joy. You know, whether it's just sit, just step out of the house or apartment, whatever it is, and feel the sun on your skin. Whatever it is that brings you the joy. For me, the moment I hear a seagull, straight away, no matter what's going on in my life, I hear a seagull straight away. That's an anchor for me. Oh, I am so expanded, so connected. I'm so, oh my gosh, feel such gratitude and joy and bliss for life. You know, in the moment I see the sparkling diamonds on the water, the sun reflecting off the water moving on the sea. You know, those simple things, connect to that, anchor that, connect, feel it viscerally, and expand that. Because when we connect to our truth and we ask ourselves what else is possible, we open up the channels for awareness to come through. And that's when we start, that's when we demote the brain, the mind, which is the brain in action. We demote it to that of servant, and we promote body to being the conduit for information to come through from our infinite being.
Because I think fear is just such an awful, it makes you not think. It makes you not be able to make proper decisions. It makes you, makes a lot of awful things.
Two things about fear. One, fear is, we fear the fear, We don't fear the thing, right? Because we've all had worst case scenarios happen and we've survived, right? So we know that. The other thing that fear is when that has been perpetuated in this conditioned matrix that we live in is in my body of the, my model of the world, fear is excitement rebranded. When you think about it, as a child, you had no fear, you had excitement. You go running and you like leap over a stream and you do cartwheels over puddles. You do all the thing, right?
Yeah.
And as parents say, oh, don't do that, don't do that. You gotta be careful, all this sort of stuff. We start to like confuse fear and excitement.
Yes.
And as you grow older, it's about fear of not conforming. You know, when you're excited at school and you're excited to do, to question the teacher and you're excited to do, and then like you're put back for fear of being suspended, for fear of being reported, you know, parent reports, being reported to the parent, all this stuff. So we live with a confused construct because the frequency of fear and excitement feels the same. You feel it in your stomach, right? But that feeling we get is not fear, it's excitement. Just we've just been conditioned to believe it's fear. It's not. We are designed to be dynamic creators. We're designed to live in the unknown. That is pure excitement. People think it's fear only because of conditioning. It's an illusion. It's not true.
Well, I find people want to be able to see it, to believe it. They need to see, they have see it. But whatever you're thinking about can be within here. But a lot of people have to see it to believe it. That's probably why you run up against people as well that don't understand, because they have to see it with their eyes.
That's conditioning, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's living in the oldest part of our brain, which is the survival brain. Right. And that's the one that has to see, that has to be sure, that has to be certain. And the only thing that exists in that part of our brain is survival and therefore the known. And that and then in that space of survival, there's always lack. Mm-hmm. And in that space of survival, there's always desire. Right? Desire. I want to make $1 million, or I want to have a house on the hill, or I want one day when my ship comes in, I will go on a holiday. It's always this desire. So we're always moving towards something in lack when we're using that oldest part of our brain.
Yes.
And all we live a life of being in lack. And therefore, fear gets
rolls that like.
Yeah.
It amplifies. And builds. Yeah.
Amplifies. Yeah. So whereas when you're living in the unknown, you're living in all the time, what else is possible, what else is possible, what else is possible. There is no lack. And there's certainly no desire, because we are everything at all times, in all time frames and all timelines and all dimensions. We are everything. There is nothing ever lacking. Now, people listen to me saying, yeah, well, I don't have $1 million in my bank. But where are you $1 million? Where is your $1 million? You're conditioned to think that it's only got to be there. Well, where is it? Because in the field, in your blueprint, it's there. In all our blueprints, it's there. All of it's there.
Whatever it is that you want, or
whatever is the authentic expression of your truth, it's there, and more. Yeah.
Yeah.
We but just come on.
Maybe that's not their authentic self. They can live with less, and they're very happy with less. But for some reason, we've been conditioned to feel that we need it or want it, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah, there's many reasons why that might happen. There's living in other realities. There's comparing their life to others, creating depression, and that's just what depression is. It's all those sort of things. But when you live your authentic truth, you will be living in prosperity, end of story, in whatever form that is. There will be prosperity. It can't not be.
Yeah.
Infinite realms, infinite being, nature, Mother Nature, Gaia, all of it. It's all infinite. It's all abundance.
Yeah. That's incredible. You could talk about this for hours, couldn't you?
Yes.
I can see that. And you're only just touching it, but it's amazing to think that if there's anyone struggling with any sort of thing out there right now, that you can handle it and that you can find it. And I like that because I think there are possibilities for people. And sometimes just a mind shift.
It's an energetic shift, not mind. Energetic shift. Yeah, in my model of the world, Tina, it's an energetic shift. So there is absolutely no requirement to be living in suffering or struggle at all because we change it. When I work with my clients, their lives change in an instant. Like you say, blink of an eye, everything will change. When you change the blueprint, everything changes in this 3D world of matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. What kind of final, I hate to go. And don't forget to please like, share, and subscribe down here below to get more of these awesome guests coming on our show. And I love to have each and every one of you. What kind of final message would you like to give, Judy, to those out there listening?
So I mentioned earlier that the one thing that I've seen, and I'm not the first person to speak about this, many, many have over the centuries, but I saw it, I experienced it, and my life has demonstrated that we are one with everything. We contain the seeds of original creation. We are divine and we are eternal. And as such, we have access to all information, all wisdom, all knowledge. And everybody has experienced that. Have you ever just like said something, done something, thought something, and thought, how did I know that?
Yeah.
That's just the tiniest little slither of what is possible, right? And when we start to trust that, you open up so much. I mean, devoted trust in that, you open up so much. Now, the third thing, and this is the part that's one, counterintuitive, and two, going to change your life when you do this faster than you can imagine, is that any challenge, any block, any obstacle, anything that's coming up for you in life, the answer is not to find out more or do more or look for more or look outside of yourself. That is an indication. It's feedback from the infinite realms to come back home to you, to come back home to your truth and ask for awareness every single day. Myself and all my clients, what we do is we ask for awareness. What awareness can I have today that will allow me to amplify my life times a gazillion? What awareness can I have today about the most impactful things that I can put my attention to? When we look for the answers from within, from our authentic truth, everything is shown to us. Everything.
Well, they say if you ask, you will receive.
100%. I've actually got a program on that, Ask and Always Receive, where I take you through that and you experience the magic of that. Ask and always receive, because you will always 100,000 trillion gazillion percent receive it. Not always in the way that you think, because it will always be in the unknown. But the more we trust ourselves, the more we trust the unknown.
That's right. I feel a lot of people, a lot don't trust.
No. And that's why they want to trust in outside things.
You have to see it to trust it. But you have to trust in yourself. You have to trust within you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you. Those were great tips. I really like those.
Cool. Thank you, Tina.
You're welcome. And thank you, listeners, for coming on board our show today. I'm so happy to have each and every one of you. With Judy V's, some people might call them crazy. I don't know what else you might have been called, but it's something because people can't see it. I honestly believe that. And I think if you don't see it, then you should be able to feel it. That's what I personally think. But again, it's training, it's believing, it's fostering this, it's understanding it, and it's having faith in it, having faith in yourself and trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming on our show. And, you know, everybody, in the blink of an eye, something can happen, just like Judy said. Sometimes there's no 5-minute evacuation notice. You know, when that car hits you head on, it's not like, hold on a second, I didn't say you could hit me yet. That doesn't happen. And I always think things happen for a reason. So sometimes it's you're not given any time at all. And that's why you need to have a better organization of what you have, what you want to have, what you feel, what you want others that are left behind to get from you, whether that's your special words, your writing, your thoughts, your books that you write, your music that you play, your songs that you write, whatever that is. It's having that organized so that when something does happen to you, and something will, that you will be better prepared for the unexpected, because something always comes to us at some point in time in our life. Sometimes people have many. They have their house burned down, and or they were in a hurricane and then they got sick, or whatever it might be. We'll have a plan so that you're not left stranded, as well as those that you love aren't left stranded either. So thank you for coming on our show, Judy. I appreciate all your words of wisdom. I call them words of wisdom because you've learned them the hard way. You definitely have learned them the hard way. But you're able to talk about it now and help others. And just like I'm able to help others not to be in that mess that somebody's left behind, but be better prepared for the unexpected. So thank you. If you are thinking of that special someone right now and you haven't spoken to them in a while, please reach out to them. Tell them how much you love and care about them today, because you don't know what tomorrow might bring. And I always end with Carol Burnett. Do you know who Carol Burnett is, Judy?
I've heard of Carol Burnett, yes.
Her shows that she used to have on back in the day. I'm so glad we had this time together just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started. And before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long. So long, everybody. I loved each and every minute my time with Judy, and I hope you did as well. Stay tuned and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe down below. Judy V's information is also in the description box down below for everybody. Reach out if you have any questions, comment down below, and we will get back to you. I might even send some of the messages to Judy to answer. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Judy, for coming on our show.
Thank you very much.
You're wonderful. Thank you. And stay safe and be kind, everybody. Till next time. Bye.